take your outline. What I want to do is I want to walk through. This is the sixth and the final lesson on this really a fascinating subject of spiritual gifts. We've taken these. It's really taken us about 3 months to get in these six lessons on spiritual gifts. What I want to do is the first point that we'll get to in a few moments really is a reminder. It's a review of some of the very important principles that we've talked about over the last several months in studying the subject of spiritual gifts. Then I want to get into some guidelines to follow about discovering your giftedness, and then some cautions to heed. And then if there's time and you're tolerant, I'd be glad to try to answer any questions you may have just on the subject in general of spiritual gifts. It's a fascinating subject, okay? So let's look at the introduction and walk through the material, and hopefully it'll be helpful to you. Discovering, and that's what everything that we've done to this point. We started out with a bunch of principles weeks ago, and then we spent 4 Wednesday nights looking at 11 different spiritual gifts. Broke them into 2 categories, you'll recall, speaking gifts, there were 5 of those that we looked at, and then serving gifts, and there were 6 of those. And now we come to really kind of putting it all together, helping you further understand and discover your own spiritual giftedness. Introduction says, discovering and dispensing your giftedness is key. And it really is key. I don't know of anything else that's more important in meaningful service within the body of Christ. Very important. They are, what are spiritual gifts? And here's the definition that we talked about weeks ago. They are God-given abilities. That tells us where they come from, okay? Sovereignly given by the Holy Spirit to every believer. That tells us who gets them. No Christian is without them. If you know Christ, the Holy Spirit's in you, you're gifted. You may not know what it is. You may not know how it's to be used. You may not be using it, but you are gifted. God has not left anyone out. They are given at the time of salvation when we receive the person of the Holy Spirit. Hey, Tim, could you ask them to hold it down over there a little bit? Yeah, to enable, here's the purpose of gifts, to enable him or her to serve effectively within the body of Christ, the church. Okay, that's the definition of what gifts are. Now, let's look at these 3 things tonight. As I said, the first one is really a review. Principles to understand when studying your gifts. Principles to understand. And I pulled together 8 of them that I think are the most important ones that you need to hold on to when you think about this subject of spiritual gifts. 1, we should not be ignorant about the gifts. We should not be ignorant, okay? To me, this subject is of such paramount importance that, frankly, for years, as a follow-up to the membership class, we have taught spiritual gifts class. We teach them in the Acts classes that we have on Wednesday evenings and on Sunday afternoons. We never have a cycle that we don't offer these. At least once or twice a year, I will, in my opportunity to teach or preach, I will teach or preach on this subject. I don't know of a subject that is more important for a believer to have an understanding of than in the subject of spiritual gifts. Your giftedness, my giftedness, is literally a signpost to direct you and to direct me into God's will for my life within the framework of the local church. That's how important our knowing our giftedness is. Other than that, you're just it's kind of a hit and miss until then. It's a critically important subject, both to you and to everyone else in the body of Christ. Very important principle. B, every believer is gifted. As I said, no one is left out. If you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit, you got gifts. All right? C, gifts are for serving others. When you look at the 4 gift passages, okay, and let me pull out one of them. I have all of them typed on one sheet, which makes it a whole lot easier for me and doesn't make it easy for you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul says, to each one is given the manifestation, the gifts of the Spirit, and he says, for the common good. They are for others. Paul said in Ephesians 4:12, they are to prepare God's people for works of service so that the whole body of Christ may be built up. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. And I pounce on that because there are a group of charismanians that are out there that will leave you with the feeling sometimes if you don't have certain gifts, then you're not much of a Christian. And the issue is that many of the gifts that they propagate are used in a selfish fashion. And folks, I'm going to tell you, spiritual gifts are always and only for others. They are for others. They are not for me. Now, I get a benefit out of them. I get a byproduct out of them because if I use my gifts and it blesses and edifies and serves and encourages you, guess what? I feel good about me and I feel fulfilled and I feel that I've been a blessing and I feel good about my relationship and walk in service to the Lord. So it's kind of, there's a reverberating that does come back on me, but that's not the motivation for using the gift. Always gifts are for serving others. D, every Christian, because gifts are for ministry, gifts are for serving others, every Christian has a ministry. There is a place for you and for me to use our giftedness, okay? I don't believe any Christian is left out of giftedness, and therefore no believer is left out of responsibility to minister. I think one of the great things that's happened over the last 16 months with kind of our change in our approach to new members has been from day one. When they come into the membership class, and if they follow up into either the maturity or the ministry class, they're hearing from day one that if you're saved and the Holy Spirit lives in you, and He does if you're saved, you're gifted and that you have a ministry, and we expect every person who calls himself a member of this church to be a ministering Christian. Now, unfortunately, that probably should have been done 20 years prior to that. But I want to leave those new people that God brings in our church with a clear understanding that if God brought you here, He brought you here to serve. And we don't want you to escape that. Okay? Next, each ministry, since every Christian has a ministry, here's the dependency Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. Each ministry is dependent upon other ministries. That's a simple way of saying we need each other. We need each other. F, every ministry is important. Every ministry is important. And folks, that doesn't say every ministry is equally important. Folks, you got to face it. Paul uses the human body as an illustration or as an analogy of how spiritual gifts operate. Just like the human body is made up of varying parts with differing functions, so it is with individual believers in the life of the church. They are the various parts based on their giftedness, and that determines what functions that they have. That's true of all of us. But when you and I look at our human anatomy, though all of our human anatomy has some degree of importance, we would all agree that some parts of our human anatomy are more valuable than other parts. I would not want to lose an eye, an ear, or an arm, or a leg. I really wouldn't. They're valuable to me, and they're valuable to you. However, if I lost any one of those, I could still continue to function and to exist to some degree. But there are some of my internal ugly organs that if I lost some of those, then find the nearest cemetery because it doesn't matter. I'm dead. And I find it interesting that in the distribution of the value of the gifts to the church, that Paul leaves us with a clear understanding that the most valuable gifts to the church are not the gifts that you see. And you know, those are the gifts that you and I tend to grandize and to put on a pedestal. And I think Paul is clearly trying to help us to understand in his teaching on gifts. Listen, it's those parts of the body, the internal organs, the internal parts that you and I can't see, but they are essential to the life and to the health of the body. And you can't even see them. But if you don't have them, you don't exist. Whereas all of the visible things that you and I have a tendency to make the most out of, Paul says, hey, they're important. But they're not the most important. And I say that because I am convinced after years of teaching people the importance of service, one of the most common reasons that God's people use for not getting involved in service is, well, because I can't sing, because I can't teach, because I can't do some of the more public things then I won't do anything. And a lot of folks that sit on the sidelines because they can't be the star, so to speak, on the field. I'm telling you, the stars, okay? The stars, it's not the quarterback. It's not the halfbacks. The star, no, you know who the stars are? It's the people in the line. If you don't believe that, tell the guys in the line, don't block. I'll guarantee you there will not be one quarterback that's a star. I'm telling you, the stars are the people that are in the trenches. I'm going to tell you, that's who the stars are, if there are any. That's who the stars are in the life of the local church. It's not the people you see. They're important. They're valuable. But it's the people you don't see that are carrying on the work of ministry. Okay? Let's see. G, we talked about this, but it was early on. Ministry. Ministry is an expression of my shape. All of us have one. That shape being, it's an acronym, being made up of my spiritual gifts. And that may be the most important part of my shape in determining my ministry. Yes, but it's not the only part. I'm also given certain a certain heart for things, a certain passion for things, a certain interest for things, a certain burden for things, or a certain heart for a particular group of people, or a certain interest in a particular issue or group of people. All of us have a passion. All of us have a heart. You may have never thought about it. You may have never defined it. You may have never sat down and thought, if I could do anything with a particular group of people, who would I do that with? Would I do that with preschoolers? Would I do that with senior adults? Would I do that with single people, married people? Would I do that with people who are separated? Would I do that with people who are sick? Folks, I'm going to tell you, we all have a passion. All of us have a passion. And the tragedy of life is most of us never stop long enough to analyze the passion to invest our lives in the things that we enjoy and would probably do best. So heart is important. A is God-given abilities that are given to everyone, lost or saved. Every one of us, it is shown statistically, all of us have between 500 and 700 abilities. Between 500 and 700 abilities. And I would venture to say most of us could probably not in the room tonight define 20. And you've got close to 500 abilities. I remember when I went through an ability analysis. By the way, going through this shape is one of the things that I do in the ministry class that we do once a month to help people begin the process of discovering their shape. And when I first did an abilities assessment on me, I identified X number of abilities that I thought that I had. And then I asked my wife, okay, I want you to go through this with me. And you tell me the abilities that you think I have, okay? She identified those that I identified and twice as many. And some of those I said, do I have that ability? She said, yes, honey, you have that ability. I didn't know that. I hadn't seen that. I didn't realize that. So sometimes it takes an outside agency to help us sometimes to see what our abilities are. But very important. And P is your personal style, which is made up of your own God-given personality and temperament. All of us are wired. All of us are wired differently. None of us, no matter what you think, and don't hit your spouse, none of us are wired wrongly. Okay? We're all wired in a certain way, okay? You have outgoing people, you have introverted people, you have people in between. You have people that are just gregarious and sanguine and out here and never met a stranger. Then you have people that are over here hiding in the corner and hope nobody speaks to them. I mean, there are all sorts of different kinds of people. Well, until you understand the kind of people God made you to be, then you're never going to find your place in the life of the church, okay? You don't want the people who want to hide in the corner being your greeters in Sunday school. They'll not be the good ones. They'll probably empty your classroom. So understanding your own personal style is so important. And then the last has to do with the experiences of life. I really believe that all of us, I know I am, I'm a product of life's experiences. I'm a product of my mom and my dad and my brother and a military home I grew up in and the non-Christian home that I grew up in and the environment that I grew up in, of the sports environment that I was a participant in, of the engineering education that I received. I mean, we're all a product of the educational family, of the spiritual. We're all a product of the experiences of life. You and I are what we are tonight because we're a product of the accumulation of the experiences of life. Every one of us. When you begin to analyze the experiences of life, you begin to discover there are probably patterns in your life. And it's those patterns in your life that God can use to help others who are moving in those same directions. Okay? I mean, I can sit down with a couple that's having marital problems, and I can tell them this is what God says. But you know what they want to hear? How about a couple sitting down with them, maybe who've gone through the tragedy of divorce? How about a couple that went to that edge and didn't go on through with that because they obeyed God? In other words, somebody that's been there, they can tell them this is not just what God says, this is what we did about what God says. Well, I got to think that couple may be more likely in some situations to listen to them than to me because, thanks, Pastor, but you've never been there. Okay? Now, I don't believe you have to go to hell to preach against it. Okay? And I'm not trying to infer that. But I just think, you know, what I think if we could get people together with common joys and probably even more so with common disappointments and struggles and frustrations of living, I think we could really better maximize our care and ministry to each other. Okay? And then final principle to understand with studying the gifts is we are accountable to God for our gifts and our ministry. Peter says that we are stewards. God's owner, we're steward. God has loaned to us certain capacities to do ministry in the body of Christ. And you and I, when we stand at the Bema judgment seat of Christ as God's people, individually, one at a time, solo, all alone, we will render an accounting of the effectiveness, not of our salvation. We wouldn't be there. That was the issue. Salvation is secure. But we will render an accounting of our ministry for God. We will render an accounting. And based on that, we will receive crowns and rewards. And I tell you, there are going to be a lot of God folks that are not going to have many. Because they didn't discover their gifts, they didn't get involved in ministry. They lived on the edge, okay? Saved, but as Paul described in 1 Corinthians 3, I think, saved yet, but as by fire. In other words, they got in, but the tail singed. But they got in. That may be all they care about, okay? So, just some principles. All that's really review, if you've caught most of the classes. Two, some guidelines to follow when discovering your giftedness. And I've just got six pointers here that I hope will help you to continue in the process of discovering your unique blend of giftedness, okay? Several things are important. A, first of all, is dedication to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When you look at Paul's letter to the church at Rome in Romans 12, Paul begins to talk about spiritual gifts in verses 3 and following. When he gets down to verse 7, he begins to specifically mention seven gifts that are functioning, that are operating in the body of Christ. But what I want to call to your attention, before he gets into the importance of serving the Lord and knowing your giftedness, he starts in verses 1 and 2 saying, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, because God has been merciful in bringing salvation to you, giving you His Spirit, I want you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, as holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." This is one of the things we can do to say, "Lord, thank you for saving me," is to serve. He says, "Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what the Lord's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And then he moves into his unfolding of some of the spiritual gifts. I think what Paul is giving us there is a principle, and the principle is this, is that surrender and submission and obedience and godliness and character always precede doing anything for God, precede service. We need to be the right kind of person. We need to be the right kind of Christian. We need to be surrendered. We need to be filled with God's Spirit before we ever attempt to serve Him. Okay? Very important. So I think it starts with surrender. I think that's part of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 22, 36, 37, 38, when he was approached and asked, "Which is the greatest commandment?" And he responds by saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. He said, this is the greatest command. Love God. Put God first in your life. And then he says, and the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know how you love your neighbor? You know how you love your neighbor in the body of Christ? You serve him. That's how you love him. You serve him. And I think what Jesus is saying, listen, here's the priority. Love God, and out of that love, serve others. Serve others. So it starts with dedication. B, information on all of the gifts. Okay, and I say all of the gifts because I think many times we have gifts that we never thought we had. So study all of them. Don't just study the ones you think you have. Get familiar with all of them. You know, I would really hope that the 6 weeks that we've had together for all of you is not the end but the beginning. That you would get other tools, you would get other books, you would get. I did this series back, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago, and it took me 14 weeks to do it. Now, I don't want you to assume that over the last several years I've known less about the subject. Maybe I've just packaged it a little differently. Folks, study this. You say, well, I already know what my gifts are and what my ministry is. Great. How about helping others find theirs? And you can't do that without an understanding of all of the giftedness. Okay? Keep others in mind. So get information about all of the gifts. Study and read about others who will talk about gifts that maybe you believe continue to exist or don't continue to exist. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of it. Expose yourself to a lot of information on the subject, okay? C, is supplication to the Lord. Basically, it means, listen, a great place to go in discovering your gift is go to the one who gave them to you. Go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I know I'm your child. I know your Spirit lives within me. I know that when he came and entered my life and indwelled me, that he brought the right package of giftedness that he wanted for me to have that I might serve you. And Lord, I surrender myself to you. And Lord, show me what those are. Show me what those are. Reveal where I can best serve you. And that's just the attitude of asking, knocking, and seeking. Okay? D, is examination of your own interest and feelings. What do you enjoy doing? Who do you enjoy doing that with? What do you do that you find fulfilling? What do you do that makes you feel good about you? Who do you do that with? I mean, when and where and with who are you most fulfilled and effective? Okay? I'm effective. I'm effective with teenagers. Okay? My wife will run the other direction. Okay? She'll run the other direction, okay? Linda says, Jimmy, I'll take them from birth to 13. You take them from 13 to 20. Okay? But I'm comfortable with teenagers. I work well with teenagers, communicate well with teenagers, okay? But you don't want me to go to the second grade classroom and teach a Sunday school class. I mean, I'll have them lost in 5 minutes. I'll have them standing in the corner, all clothed in the right mind, but scared to death. If you ever stop to analyze, who are you good with? Who are you good with? Not just what do you enjoy doing and do well, but who do you do that with? I tell you, you got that passion, you got that interest. Examine that. And try to put yourself in a position that's what you're doing most of the time. You know, I have said for years, and I continue to say, I have the greatest job in the world. I do. God has gifted me to do two things: to teach and to administrate, especially things. Okay, and that's what I do. That's what I do. Now, I spend more of my actual time in administrating things, okay? And I have to watch that because no one ever affirms you for administration unless it's bad. They'll let you know when you didn't get the room set up and when you didn't get... Oh, yeah, folks will let you know when it's bad, okay? But God's people will almost... Somebody, even if they're deaf, will say you did a good job teaching. So, I have to keep a balance between the administrative side of things and the teaching side, because those are the things that God has asked me to do. And, it's just neat. That's what I do. And it's just great. And I get paid for doing it. Not enough, but I get paid for doing it. Okay. Next is, especially with two kids in college. Okay. E, experimentation. Have fun. That's what I'm saying. Try different things. Try different ministry situations. Get involved. Be open. Be available, okay? If you're not sure the age group of folks that you might enjoy working with, get on the floor, take your shoes off, go to the preschool room and crawl and see, okay? You'll know. It won't take you long. You'll know, okay? Tell a friend of yours that teaches a 7th grade boys Sunday school class, hey, one Sunday you're going to be out, let me teach that, okay? Go in there and teach that. You'll know. You'll know. It won't take you long. You'll know. Don't be afraid to experiment, okay? Go over to the Center for Pregnancy, okay, and spend several hours for 2 or 3 days over there ministering to these families and couples that are coming in who are struggling about life and about abortion, and try to minister to those folks. You'll know. You'll know, okay? Go downtown to the homeless shelter rescue mission and feed some folks meals. You'll know. You'll know. You'll know. I'm just telling you, you'll know if you'll expose yourself. And it won't take you long. It won't take you long. You'll know, boy, I really enjoyed doing that. I really did. Or, I'll never do that again. At least you'll know. So experimentation, very, very important. Get busy, get involved. And F is confirmation. And that has to do with what are other people saying to you, especially people who know you well. But what are they saying to you? You just really do that so well. You went into that difficult situation of maybe a grieving family, and you just kind of sat next to those folks and just listened to them, and you prayed with them, and just a perfect example of this. That's not my cup of tea, okay? But that's part of what you do as a pastor. You just need to do that. We had a call from a church family a few weeks ago and said, Brother Jimmy, listen, my husband's been diagnosed with cancer. He's going to have surgery. He's in his 80s. He has a terrible heart condition. We're afraid if the cancer doesn't kill him, the surgery will from a heart. And would you come by the house and pray with us and talk with us? And I said, sure. I'd be glad to do that. And I did that. And I took Jimmy Dusick with me. I said, Jimmy, can you set aside this time and go with me? Why? They don't need me. They need what he has to offer. Now, I just got there and introduced Jimmy and had the closing prayer, and it was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time. But I knew that was Jimmy's strength. That's what Jimmy does. And I watched it, experienced it, and so I asked him to go. And there he is in his element, okay? Now, you want me to go tell somebody, knock on the door and say, you need to stop sinning. Now, that's my cup of tea. Okay? You need to get right with God. That's my cup of tea. Okay? All right. So, these are some guidelines. In the book that I wrote on spiritual gifts that's in the bookstore, I have there's a questionnaire or a series of, I think, 99 questions in the book. And I guess there are dozens and dozens of those out. I guess just a word of caution. Anytime you do a questionnaire or anytime you take a test, they always require some standardization, or it wouldn't be a test. It wouldn't be a questionnaire. So you just need to be careful that there's really no way to standardize the gifts. I mean, you can't go to any one of these 11 gifts. You can't go to any four of these passages and the gift of faith means, the gift of teaching means, I mean, I've given you my definitions. Yeah, I hope a studied opinion is a result of what the word means and the context in which it's used. But there's a real sense that there's no standardization. So whenever you take a questionnaire or a test that you go through and say, this is, you know, I always do this, I never do that, sometimes, or what have you, there's some degree of validity to it, okay? But all you're looking for is some pattern. You're just looking for some pattern. Because you can't pigeonhole any one of the gifts because they just are like colors on a palette. They just kind of run and blend together. But I want you to feel like there's no validity in them. Every time one comes across my desk, I'll take it and go through it. And I have found them basically all to be real converging and confirming. Yeah, that's the right direction. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing, okay? I don't need to be visiting the sick and burying the dead. You know, I'm doing the right thing, all right? All right, last point. Just some cautions to heed when considering your own giftedness. A, we should never become proud or boastful about our giftedness. By that I'm saying we should never. Paul says in Romans 12, I read a few moments, verses 1 and 2, verses 6 to 8 talk about the giftedness. But in verse 3 Paul says, for by the grace given me I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to you. What I'm saying by that, and I look around the room, and I don't think there's anybody here with this kind of attitude, but there are those who are floating around here with this kind of attitude. And that is, I'm indispensable. I'm indispensable. I mean, we couldn't do what we do or be where we are or have this happen if I wasn't here. Folks, I'll tell you something. No one but God is indispensable. No one, absolutely no one, is indispensable. Okay? God will get His work done. He will. And no one is indispensable. Okay? So be careful that you don't become proud or arrogant about your own gifting. Thank God for it. Use it. And in the right sense, be proud of it and confident of it. But not arrogant about it. Okay? B, we should never use our gifts, two things here, for the wrong reason. And I'm primarily thinking there about on self. Gifts are not for self. They're for others. Okay? And never use your gifts in the energy of the flesh. In the energy of the flesh. But do that in the submission and in the power and hopefully in the filling of the Holy Spirit. In the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, I would like to be able to say to you tonight that every time that I've taught you and the last 18 years, that every time, you know, I just know that I taught you in the power and the filling and the fullness of the Holy Spirit every moment of that 30 to 40 minutes that I did. No, I wish I could say that to you. But, you know, sometimes I've walked away and I've gone back to my office or my study or by my bed and got in my face and said, Lord, I wasn't ready. I didn't mean not to be ready, Lord, but I wasn't ready. You know, I studied too much and prayed too little. You know, that happens to all of us. We're all human and none of us are perfect. And you can take what God has given to you in gifts and you can use that in the energy of the flesh. And you may be able to fool everybody around you, but you'll know. You'll know. You'll know. Okay? And then, last, we should never neglect our giftedness. Okay? We should never neglect our giftedness. In Paul's writing, Timothy was a young man that Paul had led to the Lord, and his grandmom and mom, Lois and Eunice, had a tremendous spiritual influence on his life. We don't know anything about dad or granddad. But Paul had really, he was this kind of his son in the faith is what he called him. And he really poured a lot of his life into him in mentoring and discipling him. But Timothy was young for leadership in that day and time and place. But Timothy was also one whose personality and temperament and style was very timid. He was not a real confident person about who he was or what he could do for God. And Paul writes to him in several places, but in the two that I've listed here, 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul tells Timothy, listen, stir up the gifts that God has given to you. Rekindle those things. Ignite those things. Use those things. Don't neglect them. Don't disuse, misuse, abuse, ignore. Use those gifts, Timothy. Don't let your personality or somebody else's comments or any kind of intimidation factor not cause you to use what God has given to you. Don't you do that. Use those gifts, because when you don't use, remember, the human body is a picture of what we're talking about tonight. When you don't use those parts, okay, then the other parts of the body have to pick up the load. Okay? And when you don't use it, it atrophies and it becomes dead weight. And we don't need either. We don't need some folks doing more than they ought to be doing, but what God has gifted them to do. But we don't need a lot of dead weight. Both are tough to pull. Both are tough to pull. Okay? Conclusion, spiritual gifts are vital to the church's health and growth. And I say that in that order, okay? Because I know, as do you if you stop and think about it, healthy things grow. It's only things that are diseased or sick that don't grow. And I think one of the areas that we need to grow and understand is in the area of spiritual giftedness. They're vital to our own personal, individual spiritual health. But they're also vital to the health of the whole body and therefore to the growth of the whole body. Okay? Amen? Amen.